Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Okay, good.
Good
hey, we're
indeed.
Rolling along. We're talking about tomatoes, dating apps, all that.
Vanessa just dropped an interesting piece of knowledge on me today. Indiana, not a cornfield entirely, they also have tomatoes.
So my best friend got me a shirt that says tomatoes, corn, basketball, and beer, and it has the state of Indiana on it. And I like it. It's like vintage material, whatnot. So I showed it to Paul. He said, I didn't know that Indiana was known for tomatoes.
I just thought it was a giant cornfield.
It is.
Larry Bird sprouted out of a corn. And that's how he became the greatest basketball player ever.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of nailed it.
And every once in a while, people go, you know, Michael Jackson's from right around there.
He is from Gary, Indiana. Now, Gary's a little bit of a different vibe, but it is technically in Indiana.
I mean, it's on the coasts. That's why it's got a different vibe.
We always make fun of people that live in Gary or are from Gary and say that they're from Chicago. Because it's an hour plus from Chicago, but those people always claim they're from Chicago. It's like, no, you're from Gary. Anyway, we're rolling along, and we have no attention span on this Freaky Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. We do want to start out the show by giving a shout-out to one of the local teams here in town, the Houston Texans. They surprised the Uvalde High School football team this morning. Current players, a couple of Texans legends as well, and the McNairs ownership. They bought them new Nike uniforms. They're going to give them a speech before their home opener tonight. They're conducting football clinics with middle schoolers throughout the day, and they will wear Uvalde Strong decals for their new season opener. Yeah, on their against the Colts.
They keep on doing all the right things, and I hate to look at this from a public relations perspective, but I really have enjoyed seeing what this team has done this offseason. Obviously, they have a lot of ground to make up to, I think, attain relevance here, but they keep on doing all the right things, and this was a very cool gesture, I thought, by the team itself. So I hope that they keep this up. It really does feel for a change, Vanessa, as someone who's been here a decade, that this team is finally understanding that they're part of the city of Houston and they should act like it. Because they never really did before. It's this weird dynamic with them where, yeah, they're in Houston, but are they Houston, if that makes sense?
It does. And a lot of people have said that in the past, that the Rockets and Astros embrace the H and the Dash and Dynamo, quite frankly, mm-hmm. embrace the H-Town versus everyone. And it ranges from
Roughnecks.
It ranges from truly the music you play at games/matches into specialty shirts and apparel and the promotional videos. Again, let's give the Texans credit where it's due, because I think they have recognized that. They also donated a lot of money to the city of Uvalde and to that community. So this was good to see this morning. They were on Good Morning America as well as Good Morning Football, and it's current players, it's Texans legends. So hopefully it can spark a little bit of joy. The Astros did something similar where Jim Crane went there with some people and donated some supplies as well.
Very cool. And yeah, I mean, they should keep on doing it. I don't know, maybe they need, like we might need to watch that Netflix show, Mo, which is about Houston, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people have recommended that. All right, let's stick with the Texans for right now and talk a little bit of football. Allegedly, O.J. Howard is joining the Texans.
Hell yeah.
It's not official yet. We haven't gotten the press release, but that is what's being reported.
He's been one of the more disappointing players in recent NFL history as far as tight ends go, because everyone saw him playing at Alabama, and you thought to yourself, yeah, this guy's going to be really good. And yet, I mean, he's just not been able to figure out where he belongs. He was on the Bucs, but I don't think they picked up his fifth year option. He was on the Bills earlier this offseason, and the Bills didn't want to keep him around. But you take a look at the tight end position group for this team, may as well roll the dice on him. And one of the perks of having that number three waiver claim is that you can sign a Tyler Johnson, you could sign an OJ Howard. We'll see. They actually did exercised the fifth-year option on Howard, but then he tore his Achilles in the 2020 season. So
he has had a history of injuries. The Achilles is the thing that stands out the most, but he had been injured, I think, before that as well. So that is a concern.
It's tight end time in Houston, Vanessa.
It is tight end time. Tight end time in Houston.
Tight ends.
Yeah. Again, that's not official yet, but that's the report for Adam Schefter, which basically makes it official.
Championship.
They called a couple of guys. So Conley and Freeman, you put this on the rundown.
Yes, Chris Conley back, Royce Freeman back, which is weird because Royce Freeman was released and you're like, wait a second, why are the Texans going into week one with just three running backs on a team that says that they're going to have an identity of running the football? And they also brought Chris Conley back, which was surprising to me too because I figured someone would pick him up. But that's always nice. You move on from a guy and then you put a couple of players on the injured list or the injured reserve. And then you get to bring him back. So, woohoo, depth.
Conley had 22 catches for 323 yards and two touchdowns last season. So he had a couple bright spots. Again, we know what last year was with rebuilding and whatnot. But those guys are back as well. Let's talk a little Kurt Heinisch. Kurt Heinisch has been a nice surprise. And there are certain storylines and narratives that you know are going to emerge throughout the season. What's Davis Mills going to do? What's the AFC South, etc.? Damian Pierce on the running back situation. Here's Lovie Smith on how he feels about Kurt Heinisch.
Everybody loves an underdog. And you like the guys that he earned this spot. I knew a little bit about him before he got here, but we told the guys early on, man, yeah, you come in different. First round, a free agent. We're going to put you all together in drills. Show us. Make us put you on this roster. And that's what Kirk did.
He showed up in that last preseason game, and you hope that he's going to help this wretched run defense from last year be a little bit better. You need to have, of course, interior depth. And, yeah, I like that Lovie Smith says that about him. And also, he had an interesting one-liner this
week. He did, too. And yesterday. Lovie Smith has a very calm voice. I do just want to say that. Whenever Lovie Smith, I think I automatically believe what Lovie Smith, because, like, the inflection of his voice. That, too. Best beard in sports.
So trustworthy, yes.
Here's Kurt Heinisch on making the team as an underdog.
I know I'm undersized for my position, but I'm going to show up and punch you in the face every single snap from start to finish. So, just the way I am. That's the way I've always been. That's the way I'm going to be.
Hell yeah.
Very
dude.
Dan Campbell-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. Bite some kneecaps.
Punch you in the face over and over.
Punching people in the face is, you know, underrated. Right.
It's also a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's assault. And, you know, you could get fined, suspended, go to jail or something like that. But I don't know. Maybe we should bring back guys punching people in the face. What do you think? Is that too hot of a take for a Friday? 713-780.
Punching people in the face. I don't know. I mean, Aaron Donald got away with it and just wants to focus on Dr. Teals.
Well, that was hitting someone with a helmet. You know, it's different. Yeah. It's not punching someone in the face.
Worse.
But Big Heine's still a rookie, all right? He still has time to get to the double-wielding, swinging helmets at everyone on the other team.
Are we going to call him Big Heine?
I will.
Stop talking about me.
Oh. Let's talk about butts. I mean, we've been talking about tight ends. This is the butt segment, guys. We're going to lead off our Fridays going forward in football season talking about Heinies, butts, badonkadonks, dad ass dough, everything like that.
There you go. Pure class.
Did you think, Sean, that if you were to call him a Big Heine, that he would appreciate that nickname?
Maybe not from me, but from someone who knows better, yes. Yeah. I think a stranger
you
walking up to
him
on the street.
Hey, Big Heine.
What's up, Big Heine?
At Notre Dame that he had some sort of nickname like that.
Yeah, because he's a defensive lineman. That's how they joke
you
around,
know what?
I think.
I just put his name in Twitter, and John McClain on August 25th tweeted, undrafted rookie Kurt Heinisch, Big Heine, is making the Texans roster.
Look
Did you
that.
Know that was actually his nickname?
No, no.
I didn't know
the
either.
The general and the lieutenant
the general,
right here.
There you go.
You're calling yourself the lieutenant.
I love it.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe the private.
I like
don't know
it.
What's lower.
No, you're a lieutenant
like,
to me.
I like the lieutenant nickname. I'm just saying, like, are we going to go with this for all football season? Because everyone's about to come back next week, you know? Labor Day weekend, yeah, you know, people are kind of here, kind of not here. But next week, do you want to go by the lieutenant or the professor this coming season?
I don't want to give myself a nickname.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I'll stick with
I'm
the
with
professor.
You. The Texans haven't made any moves that are considered blockbuster-esque. I like that. I like that we're at a point to where they're keeping it standard, keeping it, I hate to use the word boring, but this is a rebuilding team, right?
Yeah.
Like we were talking before about how we're opening with Kurt Heinisch and OJ Howard, but that's where this team is at.
I want him to sign Odell Beckham Jr. so he's stuck here.
Do you think he would like being here?
No, he would hate it. He's like, who's Davis Mills?
Yeah.
How can I get him canceled and move on from this quarterback? I already did it with Baker Mayfield,
I mean,
essentially.
I was going to say, if he doesn't like the win-now rosters he's been on, I don't know.
He's probably going to be back on the Rams, I would imagine. Someone on the Twitch line brought up Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, look, I mean, we'll see what happens this season. I'm with you in that this is the smart approach. But they're taking flyers on guys that actually have either had potential, O.J. Howard, or delivered in Tyler Johnson in the past.
I still think the Cowboys might be in market for OBJ, but we shall see.
Ooh.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a big trade in the NBA. Let's talk about the domino effects of it. But first, Paul is going to talk about boxing.
Yeah. Listen, guys, Sunday night, it's Andy Ruiz. Some people call him the Destroyer. Against Luis Ortiz. That rhymes. A lot of people call Luis King Kong. You can watch this 8 o'clock Sunday pay-per-view on Fox. Look, Andy Ruiz Jr. is the former champ. Luis Ortiz is the challenger. Is this going to be like Clubber Lang versus Rocky? I don't know. Hopefully they'll block a little bit more because Rocky would have had several concussions in that. But you want to watch this fight. It'll be actual boxing as opposed to the, you know, the movie kind. Plus, you got Isaac Pitbull Cruz, Dale versus Eduardo Ramirez, the return of Abner Maris, Miguel Flores, and then Jose Valenzuela against Jezreel Corrales. And again, it goes down Sunday, 8 o'clock Central at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. What else is happening on Sunday? You want to watch some good old-fashioned boxing? We were talking about bringing back punching people in the face. Boxing's been doing that for 100-plus years. So again, it's Sunday night pay-per-view. Andy Ruiz, Luis Ortiz, 8 o'clock on Fox. Make sure you buy it.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Well, it seemed like he was heading to the Knicks, but Cleveland swooped in and acquired three-time All-Star guard Donovan Mitchell in a trade with the Utah Jazz yesterday. It was a Woj bomb that broke, and here's Adrian Wojnarowski on that trade.
Kobe Altman, Cleveland's president, was in New York on Monday night. He was watching Serena Williams at the U.S. Open, saw reporting on R.J. Barrett was signing the extension with the Knicks, and the Knicks and Jazz talks had ended. So he picked up the phone on Tuesday morning. He called Justin Zanuck, the Jazz GM. They restarted a conversation that they'd been having last week, and Cleveland had pulled out on Donovan Mitchell on Friday. And even Cleveland thought it was probably going to end up being New York, but they got in there and Cleveland and the Jazz had that deal today. And Utah never called back to New York to give them a chance to top that Cavaliers offer. I think they felt they were negotiating in good faith with Cleveland, and they did the deal with Cleveland for the three unprotected first round picks and some young players.
There you go. Cleveland even thought that the Knicks had it.
Classic Knicks blowing it at the last second. I mean, that's just on brand. It's so good to watch the Knicks continue.
Is Jake Aspin a Knicks fan too?
I don't know. Probably. I think everyone from New York is a Knicks fan. They refuse to acknowledge the Nets.
Long-suffering Knicks fan.
He's a Knicks fan as well. The Jets and the Knicks?
It's terrible
combination. Oh, Lord.
You feel for the man.
Shout out to Jake Aspin.
So, the Cavs didn't have to give up anything particularly substantial, like Colin Sexton is who they traded. They also traded three unprotected first-round picks. They also have two pick swaps along, and I kind of wonder about that. But the good news for the Cavs is that they have a couple of all-stars still that they didn't have to give up. Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and they also had the Rookie of the Year runner-up, Evan Mobley. So it's a nice acquisition. I will say, though, when you're giving up all those picks, it's essentially 5 years worth of picks plus the pick swaps, including the pick swaps. Donovan Mitchell, he's the guy that's putting you over the top. I don't know. Am I a Donovan Mitchell hater thinking?
I don't necessarily think you're a hater. Yeah. I think, to your point, do you feel like it was overblown? Because the minute that this happened, it was Cavs to the playoffs, Cavs going deep in the playoffs, and you don't feel like that, you're saying?
No, not really. And I don't know. Maybe this is partially due to just the way that the Jazz looked against the Rockets a couple of times when they faced them in the playoffs. But
it's a good point.
I always was sort of with Donovan Mitchell. Okay, he's good. He's regular season good. Is he playoff great? I mean, even Jamal Murray, who I feel like always used to be kind of compared with Donovan Mitchell, has had like amazing playoff moments. Has Donovan Mitchell really had an amazing playoff moment? So they gave up a lot of picks for this guy. And I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a finishing piece. I will say, though, Cleveland was very good last year, and this does make them better.
He announced the news in a very funny way, or confirmed the news. He tweeted out a picture of him actually in a Cavs jersey for when he was a little kid and then put the Brian Windhorst meme. Do you remember when Brian Windhorst, what is, now why is that with yeah. with the air guns? He tweeted that out for what Cancel is happening them. In Utah. I thought that was creative.
Yeah.
It was a nice way to confirm it. No words needed.
He had a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah, he did. He had a lot of time to think about it.
He had to struggle to find him in a Cleveland jersey, but other than that, he knew generally what he was doing.
I think his little brother in the picture is in a, or his cousin or whoever's with him is in a, like a Raptors jersey. So maybe he liked a particular player. I don't have a picture of me in any jersey other than the Pacers growing up.
It's nice to see the Jazz go back to the Stone Age, by the way. I mean, right? I mean, as far as hated teams across the United States of America that you would not expect to be disliked, I know that people from Houston hate Utah. I know that Vernon Maxwell out of his way to dump on it.
Driving that train.
And when I was up in Seattle, too, surprising amount of people hated the Utah Jazz there as well. I don't know if it's all from John Stockton and Karl Malone in the 1990s or if there's something extra with it. They're rather racist fans. I'm not sure what it is about the Jazz that makes people all come together to hate them. But yeah, it's nice. I mean, no Rudy Gobert anymore. No Donovan Mitchell. They're back at square one with Danny Ainge now running the show there.
The Pacers could acquire an additional first-round pick from this, by the way. The Pacers acquired a lottery-protected first from the Caris LeVert trade last season, which only conveys if Cleveland makes the playoffs. So there are some small domino effects like that. But yeah, this was definitely a big story. This was considered, would you consider it a blockbuster? I don't know that I think that's like that big, but it should make a difference in Cleveland. How do you think they look playoff-wise?
I mean, they're still not Milwaukee. They're still not Boston. They're still not Miami. Are they even Philadelphia? I don't know. Maybe that gives them a leg up on Philly. Really depends on if James Harden comes into this season and is in better shape. And you know what? He took the first step by throwing the cake over the side of the boat.
You know?
Like that's how you cut your cows out. That's how you cut your carbs out. You throw cake off of a yacht.
Yeah.
God. That's how I always start my diet.
It physically pained me because it looked like a good cake.
It did. It was a four.
It had like the ice, the tears and the white
icing. Four layers. I mean, goodness gracious.
And it looked like it was like vanilla with the buttercream.
And he threw it really far.
I know.
It disappeared.
He threw it the way that 50 Cent threw the bucket of ice when he was challenging Floyd Mayweather to read one page of a Harry Potter book.
Oh, I thought you were going to say doing like the ALS bucket challenge. I was like, geez, that's impressive.
No, that was as he was doing it, right?
Yes, it was his ALS bucket challenge.
Was it really?
Yeah, he took time out of his raising awareness for ALS
to just make fun of Floyd Mayweather. Who can't read.
That's incredible. Allegedly. Wait, really?
Floyd Mayweather can't
read. Who's the chick that said she can't read yesterday?
Oh, the gal from Glee.
That woman was Lee Michelle.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I can say chick. Okay, I am
that
a chick.
That broad who can't read.
That broad.
The dumb broad. She can't even read.
You can't say it. I can.
Easy, Paul.
Hashtag canceling myself. I want to get to Labor Day weekend early.
Can she really? Well, you've had some Labor Day early experiences, haven't you?
Mm.
Leah Michelle cannot read, apparently. The girl from Glee.
She's fighting back against these. I think only in podcasts. She's not tweeting anything out. I wonder why. But
I didn't hear this rumor.
Until she acknowledged it. This is another example of the Streisand effect. Why are these people such dummies? And I know that we've gone on a real rabbit hole, tangent after this. But why would you ever acknowledge rumors about you not being able to read?
Right.
Also, if there's rumors that you can't read, I'm just going to say chances are you're pretty dumb. Just like, you're at the very least, you're not smart.
Well, she's had controversy after controversy and was apparently a nightmare on the set of Glee.
She never could read about those nightmares.
Did I like her version of John Hyatt's Have a Little Faith in Me? Yeah, but other than that, she seemed like a nightmare to work with.
How would she know? Because she can't read those blogs about it. You know? Like, someone would have to tell her.
Oh, so
someone's sitting her down next to a computer and reading it to her.
When you start Googling her name, the number one thing that comes up is Lea Michele reading.
Yes.
So Lea Michele. She did admit to blind spots in response to toxic work allegations. Mm. So she had some blind spots. Does she have blind spots in her eyes?
Yeah, blind spots, and is that why you can't when it comes read? To sentences.
Yeah.
Speaking of blind spots, did the Houston Rockets have a blind spot by not trading for Donovan Mitchell?
There you go.
713-780-3776.
The ADHD guy brought it back. That's how off the rails we are. Sean, what were your thoughts on the Donovan Mitchell trade as he is headed to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I was surprised that he obviously went to Cleveland, but I think it is refreshing. I mean, they're going to be at least a interesting young team with Darius Garland, who's relatively young, Evan Mobley, who come off a pretty good rookie year, Jared Allen. So they do have four like solid young guys to build around, and you know it's probably good for the league that it's in Cleveland. Like just as far as like people, you know, always are like Miami, Boston, New York, yeah. L.A., Chicago. It's like yeah, it's good that like hey, if you're a small market team, you can still trade for good players.
It's a
like
great
you
point.
Can still get in this. If you want to and build a young team. Now you have to draft well also, but I'm with Paul that like do they have anything for Boston and Milwaukee? Probably not. Miami, I'd still give them a close, but they did move into like they will be like the Raptors, a young team that'll be a tough out in the playoffs. It's not a like absolute dead body like walkover
right.
team. They could make the second round any given year for like the next 5 years.
Also, when you hear this, you realize how close the NBA season is. I think the Rockets are going to be exciting this year.
Yeah, this will probably be like the exciting year where they're bad, other than the last 2 years, which was kind of like, other than Jalen Green last year, not the most exciting basketball. But this year, at least you'll be like, oh, okay, we have at least the parts of what we hope will be like the next good Rockets team.
Right, at least you're almost out of
there.
The tunnel.
Almost there.
Hopefully.
The 2024 is the, like, maybe, hey, maybe sniff around the play-in.
Good God.
There you go.
It's like two teams here in town.
I know,
it's
I know.
A little depressing.
That are rebuilding.
Yeah.
But at least
the Rockets
they are rebuilding,
big
and they're both doing it through the draft, which I think is cool. Some exciting young players. All right, Rockets season, preseason kicks off October 2nd against the Spurs, by the way, and that is a home game. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, it's time for our NFL countdown. Don't miss it. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Galant.
6 days, people. We are 6 days away from the start of the regular season in the NFL. Paul, who you got for the prestigious number six?
Six is a trash number historically. So you have Jay Cutler at the very least start off there. But, I mean, we're talking Mark Sanchez. We're talking Baker Mayfield. And, of course, who could forget famous kicker from the San Diego Superchargers, San Diego Chargers, Rolf Benirski, who...
You still did better than I would have.
When he retired in 1987, think about how the NFL has changed. His 70% field goal percentage was third in NFL history. And he was an All-Pro in 1980. He was the NFL's Man of the Year in 1983. And guess what, guys? Like, this is the most impressive thing. He played through a serious case of ulcerative colitis.
Oh, that's no joke.
And he...
Ulcerative colitis.
I see commercials for that on during Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Guess how much he weighed in 1979.
How much?
Because of the UC.
160 pounds.
129
pounds.
Isn't that nuts?
It's a type of Crohn's.
God.
I know. Irritable bowel disease over here, guys.
What a badass.
The lightest player ever to play football.
That's crazy.
I mean, to be...
One out for, what was it, Roloff?
Rolf?
Rolf? Bernischke.
Rolf? Okay.
Hell yeah, Rolf. We love you.
Yeah, we love you too. Thanks for raising awareness.
Good God.
Jimmy G is sticking with the 49ers with that new deal. Yesterday, we heard from Trey Lance on what it was like to have Jimmy G back in the quarterback room. Here's one play, Trey.
Jimmy, back out there just rotating drills with you.
Awesome. It's good to have him back. Good to have him back in the building, in the QB room again. Man, just like I've said, man, he's been a big brother to me since my first day in the league, since I got drafted the day I got drafted. So, man, I know he's got my back. I got his back, and I'm excited to go through this year with him, man. He's going to add a lot to our QB room. I mean, that's the goal for us, is to have the best QB room in the league. And man, we're pretty damn close if we're not there. But I'm super excited just to have him in the room.
So excited.
Another guy, again, who's done it. Got to watch him do it last year. Got to learn a ton from him, and I'm going to continue to learn as much as I can from him.
You know,
take all the advice that he's got for me this year.
Hell
like
yeah,
brothers.
Trey.
Jimmy G also talked, but the long and the short of it was, quote, "I think things are working out pretty well. Happy to be with the Niners." Do you buy that those two actually get along?
You know what I do?
Because they both seem so chill.
Jimmy G seems to be a great teammate. Now, there are some questions about his toughness that you've heard in the past, and maybe the coaching staff isn't exactly thrilled with the way that he handled this offseason. Same thing with John Lynch with the shoulder surgery that he had. Once the shoulder surgery happened, his market kind of tanked. But Garoppolo probably didn't want to leave, and honestly, I do think he's in a good spot, especially if you don't feel great about Trey Lance. Trey Lance talking his way through it. I mean, that was kind of painful, right? Essentially, the situation for Trey Lance is he finally is with the woman of his dreams who just broke up with...
Jimmy G is?
Wait.
Or Trey Lance?
Trey Lance is with the woman of his dreams.
The San Francisco
49ers. Their ex-boyfriend is Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo just moved in with
He literally
with
just
them.
Moved in to live with them. Thank
okay.
you, Sean. Yes.
I thought you meant Trey Lance really had a new girlfriend that was like a model or something. Like
no,
Gigi
no,
Hadid.
No, no.
I got
no.
it.
But Jimmy Garoppolo maybe would also take not only his job, but also his woman.
Maybe? 100% would take it.
Oh, well, I don't know if he's
his hairline
you know, that
is
kind of
rough,
guy.
Guys. His hairline is rough.
Trey Lance?
We got to get that guy to a barber. Yeah, did you
oh,
see his
boy.
Press conference?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's foul on the Houston Texans press conference. Those overhead lights.
That's true.
I would
They are
look
not
bald
flattering.
Yes.
They are not flattering.
Trey Lance hairline looking at, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good. But obviously, Jimmy G had that short shoulder surgery. Go ahead.
Has Trey Lance had anything this preseason, offseason that makes you feel better about Trey Lance?
No.
Because his play and then now his hair, I mean, it's all rough. Jimmy Garoppolo's back.
Right.
A lot of things working against
him. He went to the same school as Carson Wentz.
Ugh. Oh, true. Ugh. It's also clear to, via all of the reports, that Shanahan didn't want to draft Trey Lance, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That is what the vibe
too.
Is.
Yeah.
So if you're John Lynch, at this point, it's like, no, we're going to stick this out. I think it may be an ego thing. I don't know. Either way, I guess it's good that those two are getting along. But I have a couple friends that follow the 49ers, and it was all the rage, all the pictures and videos of Jimmy G at practice.
Yeah. Man, it's a tough situation to be a young quarterback there. I mean, at least with Jordan Love, he never really was thrust into the spotlight. If you're Trey, you got to have some real mental fortitude to get through this. Even if he ends up being a good player, I mean, this would be a lot, I think, for any young player to deal with, especially one who's not very experienced.
All right. The artist formerly known as Darius Leonard, now Shaquille Leonard, may or may not be playing Week 1 against the Texans. He had back surgery in the offseason. He was taken off the PUP list, meaning he can play, but he told the Indianapolis media, quote, "I'll play when I feel like I'm ready, when I'm comfortable."
You know,
so we'll see. That would be a big break for the Texans if he did not play.
Shaquille, you got to think about your long-term health. You got to think about your family. You got to think about everyone, especially the Houston Texans. So think about them, and really, I think this one's a good one to sit out. You don't want to get hurt going after the Damian Pierce. So, you know, just take a seat. It's
I know
fine.
You're saying this in a joking way, but he actually probably shouldn't play.
Yeah.
Like,
Shaq
for
Leonard,
his own health.
Here's Andrew Luck's number. Ask him about playing through pain
you know
in a meaningless game against the Texans.
How about you just retire? Right? Like, that's, I think, the best approach. Just retire
just
from
retire.
The Colts.
Give it up.
Exactly. And maybe tell some of your other teammates that they should retire, too. Matt Ryan, it's been a nice career. Retire.
Well, Matt Ryan.
Quinn Nelson.
At some point, we'll retire. Big blow for the Tennessee Titans. Outside linebacker Harold Landry III tore an ACL during practice. He had a career-high sacks, 12 sacks last season, making him the first Titans pass rusher with double-digit sacks in a long time. So that is a huge blow to them.
That's the best part of their team. I mean, their defense is pretty damn good. And, I mean, there's a lot of questions about everyone on offense. Are their wide receivers going to step up with no, A.J. Brown? Is Ryan Tannehill going to be able to bounce back from that playoff game? Is Derrick Henry, who just got a bit of a raise, going to be the same guy after having foot surgery. And now all of a sudden you have this going on. Tennessee, what they did last year was actually really impressive, but this, I think, is going to hurt them. And I feel more and more like there's a chance either Houston or Jacksonville could leap them in the AFC South.
This the feels, Titans?
Yeah.
See, I'm not high on the Titans, but I don't know about all that.
I'm not feeling Tennessee this year. I feel like there's a lot of just bad juju around everything not named Malik Willis.
Yeah, could be. All right, our Tuanon believer over here, leader of the pack, Sean Mapes. Last year when Tua Tagovailoa was voted captain, he rejected the captain role because of the sense that the Dolphins were pursuing a trade for Deshaun Watson. This time he accepted it. Tua, now a captain.
There we go. It starts here.
There's going to be a 7-part documentary about Tua Tagovailoa someday. The captain.
Oh, God.
The captain, too.
You know what? Great. That one might be more exciting than the Derek Jeter
the
one.
The captain, part two.
Yeah.
Hey-o, well can done. I just say this about documentaries? And this is what I'm finding out. If the person that it's about produced it, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah,
because it's none of the interesting stuff. And it's all of the stuff that they want you to see. My life changed when I met my wife, Hannah. Okay, great. I loved my parents. Okay, awesome. Like, talk about partying.
Yeah.
At 106 and Park in New York back in the early 2000s.
Talk about doing cocaine.
Well, yeah,
you know, off of insert Whoa. Random famous celebrity person of the opposite sex. You know, yeah. Like that stuff. I actually did start watching another one last night.
Oh, you're not through them yet.
The Tim Donaghy one.
Okay.
So the same people that made the Tua documentary also released
Chaos.
Manti Te'o. Thank you. Jeez.
I knew what happened.
Rest in peace, Lene.
Yeah, that's true. RIP to Lene.
Pour one out.
Kakua.
Too good for this world.
The same people that made that one and the documentary about the Too Good for This World. Malice at the Palace documentary.
Oh, great one.
They made this Tim Donaghy one. And the people that are in his circle are just all complete douchebags. Like, every single one of them has earrings. Every single one of them is wearing the most outrageous, yeah, this guy gambles get up that they possibly
right.
can. And hearing Donaghy go through what they did, I'm like, holy crap, this was pretty nuanced. And they would have been able to get away from it if one of the guys, who of course is the most douche nozzle looking one that there was out there, if he just shut his mouth. Like, they would have totally gotten away with this forever.
Baker Mayfield, by the way, is promoting shirts made by Glory Days Apparel.
Okay.
One of them is just a regular Baker Mayfield shirt. Nothing interesting. The second one is a picture of him in a cowboy hat that says, Baker Mayfield, off the leash, live and in person, Carolina versus Cleveland, one day only.
Who's going to buy that?
I don't know.
Would a Panthers fan buy that? I don't think so.
Baker stands, I guess.
Are there Baker stands left? Like, I guess maybe Sooner fans.
Yeah, it could be.
These shirts stink.
Yeah. They do like,
they
not.
They don't look
good
either.
Right.
And he endorsed it.
And it looks like not good material. Like, y'all know I love this like vintage material that I'm wearing. They just don't look like good material.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And look, times are tough. He doesn't have all these advertisements anymore. You got to endorse what comes to you.
Well, the first response is that he said he would do his talking on the field, yet he is selling T-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, he doesn't want to hype up week one matchup, but he's also selling a T-shirt that is specifically hyping up the week one matchup. Again, but Cynthia Freeland, I never said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Paul's favorite quarterback could be heading to the divorce court. One of my all-time favorite quarterbacks. Apparently needs to pay back some money. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Prices apply while supplies last. Valid through 9/7.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
After 45-year-old Tom Brady missed 11 days of training camp and practice this summer, he told people, I'm 45. It happens. I got a lot of bleep going on.
Yeah.
But according to Page Six, there's trouble in paradise between him and Gisele Bündchen. Tom and Gisele are in a fight right now, a source tells Page Six, adding that this has happened before with the couple, but they've always reunited. Says that she there's been trouble in the marriage over his decision to unretire. Giselle has always been the one with the kids. They had agreed he would focus on the family. Then he changed his mind.
Just fake news, you know? Like Page Six? Absolutely not.
I don't know.
You got to back off talking about my Lord and Savior like this.
Mm.
Every single relationship he's ever been in, it's been wholesome.
Oh, really? There's when he left pregnant Bridget Moynihan for Giselle, was that wholesome?
That's not how it went down.
Oh, it isn't.
It's
because he
not.
Has a son, Jack, who's 15, and another son who's 14. I just don't know how that could be.
Well, I mean, who hasn't when, and again, I'm speculating, but who hasn't, you know, started up a relationship with somebody, but it's not exclusive, and then all of a sudden the ex comes back into the figure.
Pregnant, it's exclusive.
You have, well, yeah, but I mean, who's to say that when Giselle and Brady like started hanging out that he and Bridget also maybe were trying to get back together and then they had a night and things happened from there. Like I feel like he gets unfairly criticized for that because there's a dynamic where that could have taken place where it's not just Brady leaving for a person that has a kid. So anyway, I feel like with Tom Brady here in this situation as a half man, half God who has a face that's just unbelievably beautiful, chiseled from stone, maybe chiseled a little too much of late. He would never, ever have a relationship issue with his significant other.
I was wrong, by the way. His next son is 12 and one's 15, but he and Giselle got married like right after.
That whole saga was weird. I felt like everyone coming after Tom, though, was just looking for a reason to come after
True.
Tom. Because people are always looking for a reason to come after my Lord and Savior.
But
and you know what? People
said...
are coming after Jesus, too. It's fine, okay? You know, like...
Isn't that what Lamar said? People also talked about Jesus
yeah,
Christ,
yeah,
Lamar Jackson.
Listen, I mean, Pontius Pilate, you know? People forget. I'm just saying.
Twitter troll, Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
I would actually be surprised if they got a divorce. Partially... because it seems like they're very committed to each other, partially because their kids are young and most people stick it out for the kids. Even though celebrities get divorced, I would be surprised. Tom Brady is so committed to excellence.
Yeah.
Would he even get a divorce?
No, because he's perfect, and so is Giselle, and this relationship's perfect, and there's no trouble.
None at all.
There never would be any. At Page Six, you can get lost. You can go burn yourself alive. Self-immolate.
I am interested if, you know, God forbid they get divorced. It'd be the worst thing in the world if they got divorced, whatever, their kids. Oh, my God. But imagine Tom Brady's dating life at, like, 46 years old. That'd be insane with the TB12 method. Every girl. I mean, do you think Blue of Earth is weird? I mean,
yeah.
Some of the new age chicks that Tom Brady's
going to
go after.
He would take women out to dinner to see if they would eat a tomato as a turn off. Because he doesn't eat nightshades.
Oh, you're from Indiana? Off
yeah,
my list.
Yeah, absolutely. Too many tomatoes. Too many starches.
She's got tomatoes in her blood.
If you think Leo's doing well for himself, though, I mean, like, how much better is Tom going
oh,
to
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Because Tom's actually
the chart
handsome.
With Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom is not only handsome. Tom, I think, would pick hot but classier women. Like,
yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio was like, I'm going to date a drug lord's 22-year-old
oh.
wife. I think Tom Brady Alleged would go lord. Like a young Giselle.
Yeah.
Part two.
I also, Leonardo DiCaprio looks like someone who evades taxes. And, you know, and Tom Brady, again, a wholesome figure, my Lord and Savior, doesn't look that way. You know?
Leo's caught a couple tough strays in the last, like, four sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not good looking, though. Leonardo DiCaprio, I don't know what
either,
happened.
So thank you for this.
Yeah, no, I actually, but I like guys that are a little
yes. He's aged the opposite of how Tom Brady has aged on the football field.
He has. And you know what? It's all the young women that he is on these yachts with.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI is questioning one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks, Brett Favre.
Good. Send
in
him
connection
to jail.
With a $70 million Mississippi welfare scandal.
It's
the nation's poorest state used child welfare money to pay Favre for speeches he never made.
It's crazy that this has gone under the radar the way that it has. This is, and maybe it's because it's in Mississippi, but this story is absolutely bonkers. Like there's a former very high up politician in Mississippi too, Vanessa, right? That's like involved in this.
Yeah.
And all we've heard is like, yep, Brett Favre, he's being investigated.
Favre was paid by the state of Mississippi, by the way, $1.1 million in 2017 and 2018 to make motivational speeches out of federal welfare funds intended for needy families. The Mississippi State Auditor said Favre never gave the speeches and demanded the money back. He repaid the fees, but not the $228,000 interest that was demanded. Brett, do the right thing. Pay it back. Also, why are we motivational speeches out of welfare funds? Can somebody explain that? Is that why Mississippi is so
Because it's for welfare.
Back?
It's for the welfare of the kids. To hear from a man who sends a picture of his Ramalama Ding Dong to someone who'd never seen it before. You know, a man who claims he had thousands of concussions over the course of his career. A man who, you know, famously was a great teammate to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Lord.
A man who, you know, was so bold that he once threw six interceptions in a playoff game.
His decision-making, Sean and I were talking about this during the break. You were here, but I don't think you were, like, here. His decision-making and discernment is so bad.
Yeah.
And it's everything from the fact that people don't realize he had never talked to Jen Sturgis when he sent those pictures. Sturger, when he sent those pictures. He had never talked to her. He got her number, sent her those sexy voicemails and those pictures without having even met her. It's frustrating.
Flip phone, too.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like very high tech.
Just whatever, very bad.
Whatever camera this was, I hear it wasn't a very flattering image. And
no woman has ever wanted that, by the way.
Seriously, I've always wondered
not
that.
A thing.
You gotta be like deep in the midst of a back and forth about going to you know where to send something like that, even if you send it.
Sean, what are your thoughts on this Brett Favre sit?
Yeah, I cannot wait to get into this conversation. I was really hoping to talk about something else. No, I mean Brett Favre, just all time problematic. Post-career, I guess, and honestly, during his career a little bit. But it is funny that, like you said, his decision-making is so poor. We're on the field, gunslinger. Just whip it in there, and then I'll also maybe send some pictures I'm not supposed to. I'll throw into double coverage. I'll get 75,000 concussions, and then maybe steal from sick, needy children.
Make Ed Werder sit out on my front lawn to tell people if I retired or not.
But I'll sell you some Wranglers, too.
Text messages obtained by Mississippi Today show that he sought $3.2 million, a grant for a drug company in which he was a shareholder, and a $5 million award that built a volleyball arena at the University of Southern Mississippi.
By the way, you know, we talk about this drug company with Brett Favre. I mean, there were some pretty rampant rumors about Brett Favre and pills back in the
90s. Oh, were there really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Also, getting $3.1 million to give a speech at a drug company that you are a shareholder of is also, I'm pretty sure that's also a crime.
Totally criminal and unethical. And there are so many needy kids, especially in Mississippi, which is a really poor state, that need this. I don't know how you do this with any conscience. Like, I literally don't understand.
The best defense you could give for Brett Favre, which the Packers late in his career rarely gave him a good defense. But what you could say is that he didn't know where the money was coming from. But even then, he is still engaged in very unethical behavior.
Do you trust the judgment? And again, addiction's a horrible thing. But of a man who claims in an interview with Graham Bensinger back in, I think, 2016, that he took 15 Vicodin at one
time. That's awful.
Is that possible?
Without dying? I don't know. Maybe for some people. Maybe if you're an addict. But you know what? Drugs are a big deal in Mississippi. That's a huge issue there, actually, in Mississippi, is the opioid epidemic and all of that. So it's really sad. It seems like he's like just making bad decision after bad decision. I loved him when he played. Ugh.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, he was such a fun, great player. And now
he drove
to
me crazy.
Find out he's, like, such
a
kind
of POS. Everyman.
Yeah.
He was an everyman. He wore jeans. He had that drawl.
He drove me crazy. The interceptions.
You're from Massachusetts.
Well, yeah, you're not folks.
Literally, that's it, actually.
He did make me cry after Super Bowl 31. When the Packers beat the Patriots,
and the Patriots never won another.
Never
Super
came
Bowl
back
again.
From that. No, but I held that grudge. I mean, listen, you know me, I hold grudges. But the thing that drove me crazy about Favre was like the interceptions he threw were like, what the hell, dude? Like that was the problem. Like when he threw an interception, it was always like, geez, what were you looking at? And he was very fun. You aren't kidding about that. But the interceptions were always like, what? What? Like he was Jameis Winston. In an era where actually it was okay for quarterbacks to throw interceptions.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are in September. That means we're closer to playoff baseball. We're taking a look at the Astros schedule this weekend and what we predict for the rest of the season. Are you concerned about their injuries? That's coming up.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.